Hey everybody, we're here for a bald movie, but this is it's a first run, but it's on Netflix. We're doing some Netflix originals this year because some of them get a lot of buzz. This one that I had heard a lot of buzz for, a lot of excitements generated for, is Polar, starring Mads Mikkelsen. This is about a assassin who works for a company called Damocles. And their corporate policy is to all their assassins retire at the age of 50. But little does our hero know that the retirement policy is lethal because the mean assassin manager is unwilling to pay his employees in retirement contracts. Retirement policy. So if you earn $8 million in your 401k for contract killer, then he offs you and keeps that money. And that is the setup of the movie, and hilarity ensues from there. What did you think of this movie, Jim?
I think I went into it wanting to like it. Because I've seen a couple of stinkers in the last week that I really didn't like, and I was looking for a movie to like. Unfortunately, I don't think I ever settled into the style of this film. It goes for a very specific feel. It's like a combination of Crank and this John Leguizamo movie that probably nobody has seen called Spun, about a meth dealer where he's, it's just crazy. Like there's a manic energy to parts of this movie that I really wanted it to lean into maybe a little bit more than it did, like a Crank does. But it kind of tries to split the difference, be manic and crazy and weird in half of it, and be a little more subdued and a little more introspective in another half. And those two halves just never quite came together for me.
Yeah, I mean, it suffers. I think it's I feel the same way that the first 30 minutes of this movie, it was a lot of fun in that kind of cranked John Wick ultra violent, but you don't really care because this is a ludicrous scenario and everyone involved is kind of bad. And then at the halfway point, it devolves into something that I've got a big bugaboo with, which is essentially torture porn. And there's an extended sequence of that. And then the movie pivots from that into like trying to say something serious. And to me, I probably could have been down for either half of this movie, but I found that the juxtaposition of the two almost offensive. You can't engage my empathy while you're simultaneously so depraved in the violence, and particularly like some of the sexual violence. I just don't think that's like a peanut butter chocolate combination that's successfully played with together. So I think that Mads Mikkelsen was really good, and the stunt work is really good, and some of the fights are fucking harrowing. It's ultra violent right up there with anything you've seen in Mad Max, John Wick. And it has a kind of this interesting streamlined story. And there's also some interesting social kind of jousting they do with that I want to talk about in a spoiler field. But like, yeah, it's like when they got like it's like right at the middle where the torture porn stuff starts happening. And this is kind of also like a Sin City deal.
That I very much got a Sin City vibe from this, even though the it's not neo-noir or anything. Like, there's none of that. It's simply, I don't know. I don't know why I got Sin City, but that popped in my head
Well, Sin
too.
City, I think, is one of those where it's too much too. It's like it goes beyond
It might be just the
shocking.
characters. Like, there are some very weird characters in this, and I
Well, I think it's
equate that
also
with Sin
based
City.
on a kind of a hard-boiled graphic novel. Like that's the.
Yeah, the origin of this is actually super interesting, I thought, because there was no such thing as Polar as a property until 2012. And at that point, it was simply a webcomic made by this guy named Victor Santos. It's a Spanish action webcomic, and it was completely wordless. There was no dialogue whatsoever in the original webcomic. And then Dark Horse got a hold of it, it put some dialogue in it, made a three-part graphic novel series, and then it turned into a film in like 3 years. It's amazing how fast that happened to me.
I mean, like I said, I think some of the ideas are kind of interesting, and they do a little bit of kind of try to do some John Wick world building around this, like, this elite organization of assassins and some of the mundane apparatus that rises up among it. But I just think that ultimately they needed to pick a lane. Like, do you want to be funny? Do you want to be slapstick, or do you want to really, like, pump the dark heart of humanity? Mm-hmm. And it's just hard to draw both of those substances out of the same well.
Yeah.
Hey, before we get too far into our discussion, I want to talk about some housekeeping stuff. We did a lot of stuff on Bald Move TV this week. We did a wrap-up on Punisher Season 2. We also had coverage of the two Fyre Festival documentaries, Fyre and Fyre Fraud, on Netflix and Hulu, respectively, that you might be interested in checking out on the Bald Move TV feed. And Bald Movies, not only do we have this podcast Polar, but we also took in Aquaman, if you want to check out our Bald Movies feed. Also, we have our own award ceremony, our fifth annual Baldies, Bald Move Awards. You can go to baldies.baldmove.com. Our nominations are closed, but you can vote for the winners of different user categories, such as best drama, best comedy, favorite Bald Move moment. And that voting will be open until this Monday. And then we're going to compile it, and the ceremony will be held on January 30th. We'll have a release of the actual award show, and we also record just hours of deliberations where we explain our reasoning for all that stuff. And finally, last but certainly not least, we have the second annual, not quite Groundhog's Day Marathon. If you go to groundhog.baldmove.com, you can find out more information about this. But we're raising money for the National Alliance to End Homelessness. We're going to be doing a charity drive for 24 hours, starting February 9th at midnight to the following midnight. We are going to be on twitch.tv/baldmove, and we're going to watch all of the Star Wars movies in chronological order. And with a brief break between them, but we're going to be on camera for 24 hours in lashed due to Star Wars grindstone, raising money for a good charity. twitch.tv/baldmove. Check out groundhog.baldmove.com for the schedule. We're still getting some of the times and dates scheduled. Do we ever post last year's coverage on that page?
Not yet.
I'll get that up. By the time you're hearing this, it'll be there. But we also have the whole 24 hours of last year. If you just want to see it, if you just want to watch the thrilling conclusion of the last hour, you can do so at groundhog.baldmove.com. Since this is a Netflix original, it's not a first-run Bald Movie, something we actually go out and see in the theater. So we're giving this spoiler-filled review away. But if you do enjoy our thoughts on these and, like, Amazon originals and Hulu originals, consider stepping up to the club at club.baldmove.com, because then you can get access to our spoiler-filled reviews of our first-run movies, among many other features. club.baldmove.com. Here's what's new in premium content for our club members.
Executive producers get to exercise their voting fingers again this week with another prestige movie poll. This week's nominees are Mystic River, The Last Samurai, and Secondhand Lions. Take your pick and seal our fate.
This Monday on the premium feed, we open up the books and deliver a State of the Empire podcast, talking about the current condition of Bald Move and our plans for this year.
This Friday, it's Lunch 420, which, given last weekend, seems like a tragic missed opportunity. Ah, well. Lunch will be served piping hot at 1 p.m. Eastern. Come join live or warm up some leftovers when lunch is released in podcast form later that day.
If you want more Bald Move in your life, head over to support.baldmove.com to find out how you can get tons of bonus audio and video content, plus ad-free feeds.
We try to make it super easy to support making podcasts at Bald Move. Just join the club.
But some people aren't the joining type, or maybe they're already in the club but want to add a little bit of gratuity for an especially great season of coverage, or for podcasts that really spoke to them, or gave them that bit of support in a tough time.
For these, and for whatever other reason you might have, our tip jar is always open. Head over to support.baldmove.com and click the donate option to say, hey, keep doing what you're doing. We appreciate it.
Once again, check out support.baldmove.com for all the great ways to help me and Jim keep making the podcast you love. So, like, if you haven't seen it, now's the time to go away and see it if you want to. But we're about to get spoilery with it. I thought that the, like, I was having so much fun at the beginning of this movie where they're doing, you know, September from Earth, Wind, and Fire, and Johnny Knoxville's getting blown and he gets shot. And he's going to postmortem erection. And I'm like, okay, I kind of get the flavor of what this thing is going for.
Yeah.
And then Mad Mikkelsen has got this, like, this kind of funhouse retiring cop cinch scenario where it's like, oh, look how feathered your nest is when you're ready to retire and you only got 14 days left. And him, like,
it's 1 week from being 1 week from retirement.
And here's where I thought that the film can't fail, because I am a sucker for animals and children, right?
Okay.
And there is a scene that they play for laughs where Mads Mikkelsen abducts a puppy in exactly the same way that a trained killer like this would, like, oh, I don't need a puppy. And then smash cut, he's got the puppy and he's super cute. Mm-hmm. And he's having a PTSD nightmare where he's being attacked, among other things, by a dog. And he wakes up to his dog, like, licking himself, and he just blows this puppy away.
Yeah.
Smash cut to him burying it. And, like, there was, like, an emotional beat and I started laughing. I'm like, all right, well,
this movie, the biggest laugh.
This movie can't lose me. There's no way. And then it slowly started losing me because it just couldn't. Where did it lose you? Because, like,
I think it maybe lost me with. Well, I mean, it was definitely the serious tone. So I didn't know what to make of that first scene with Johnny Knoxville, because I inherently, like, I just, my, the core of my being dislikes Johnny Knoxville. Even though I think he's been fine in some of the movies he's in.
But he does play like this is good use of Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah, I still have a reflexive dislike of Johnny Knoxville.
Okay.
Courtesy of Jackass. But
he's your Gwyneth Paltrow.
For sure, yeah. So I was very not into the first scene of this movie. Like that erection joke that, you know, kind of set the tone for you was setting in a bad way for me.
Oh, no.
And then they hit you with the main villain, who is this just completely over the top.
Repulsive.
And I was like, okay, I see what they're doing here. I'm going to go with it. And I'm going to just let this thing be silly. Just let this thing be ridiculous, as ridiculous as it wants. And then, yeah, I think when they started, like, in with the Mads Mikkelsen stuff, where he's very serious and he's got this budding relationship with this woman in this small town, I thought that was far more interesting than anything they were doing with the over the top, mm-hmm, ridiculous comic book shit.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I was subjected to both of those things at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
no,
I mean, I feel you.
There's a couple of scenes. I think they spoiled some stuff in the trailer. Like, the highlight of the movie is his kind of like green laser finger gloves.
Yeah.
An ambush. And they just, as soon as I saw that set piece roll on, I'm like, well, I know it. That happens. Right. Like, that is, that's unfortunate, because that should have been like a crowning moment of awesome where the movie kind of needed it to kind of win me back. And instead I'm like, oh, well, shit, I'm okay. I'm going to sit here and pretend like I don't know what's going to happen. And
I mean, the movie came dangerously close to sucking me in, though.
Like, a couple times. Yeah.
Because there's this scene where they track him to this cabin, up in wherever the hell he is, Montana somewhere.
Yeah.
And they create this ruse where this woman's car breaks down and they go back to the cabin and they're banging and then the sniper sets up and I'm like, okay, I really hope they take this to its natural conclusion. And then they fucking do.
Yeah,
right.
Uh-huh.
It's like, okay, he knows what's up and there's going to be this big battle and they're both completely naked and he runs out into the forest completely nude and takes out the sniper. And I'm like, this is the kind of ridiculous hijinks I want this movie to get up to.
Him being completely butt-ass naked and then laying in the ice and snow. Yeah.
And taking the guy's clothes. And that was all good. I was all in at that point. But
and the movie had done a couple of tug-of-wars with me, too. Like the scene where they're ambushing the obese man.
Oh,
like,
right.
I kept on like, and this is this too much? This seems exploitative. This, and then like they just... The one way I think you can answer that is always to do more.
Yeah.
And just and like, I'm like, okay, well, all right. They see and they're kind of winking and all that. Okay. It's very crank. And like, it went back and forth like on several different scenes where I'm like, is this, I don't know. And I was always going to couch my review of like, this is a movie for a very particular type of person.
Oh yeah, it is.
Like if you can't get down with like just wanton senseless violence, if that's just don't even go anywhere near this movie. Because it doesn't have a story to redeem it. It's just like a stylistic choice. Mm-hmm. But then when they got to where this, and I think this guy's very yellow bastard, just into how like repulsive he is. It's another kind of connection to Sin City, I thought. And when I got to where, like, you know, they got Richard Dreyfuss to be in this fucking movie.
Yeah.
He drugs him. He gets taken captured and he's chained up and it says day one. And I'm like, oh, yeah, there's like 12 days until he retires. I'm like, I don't want to see this movie.
It's weird to me that you're
and here's the thing. Uh-huh. It didn't go near, like, I was braced for hardcore torture porn. Yep.
It's weird because that scene where they shoot that dude in his recliner, that massively obese guy, they go for it. They go as far as they can down that road, but then they pull their punch in this torture porn scene. And
nail gunning that guy through the wall. Like, there's a lot of, and they're like setting up, like, I don't want to see this dehumanized, repugnant shit. And it was dehuman, but it was like not, you could tell they were like, I don't know
I've
what it looks like.
Far worse in like,
it's also repetitive.
Pick a movie, Saw, Hostel, like any of the true.
Yeah.
You know, the defining movies in that genre.
So it's like weird that I was bracing for something that never came, but it still was like more than I wanted.
Okay.
It's like, I feel like if someone like an Eli Roth fan is going to be like, weak.
They will,
And a guy like me is
and
like.
And I was kind of like, weak.
And a guy like me is kind of like, oh, well, this is just. I mean, plus it's boring. It's 3 days of him going at him with a pair of toenail clippers, essentially.
Well, here's the thing. I expected in that scene for them to go way farther, both on their roughing up of Mads Mikkelsen, but also with this girl that they have captive.
Which is what I was afraid of.
I was super afraid of that.
I'm like, oh, God.
Kind of glad they don't go there, but you can make an argument for they needed to, because that's what this movie is, or that's what this movie should be. They never bring her into the room and like, show off all the heinous things they're doing to her in front of Mads. Like, that's where I expected this to go. I don't know what the point was, really, to not include that scene.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I actually, until the very last beat of the movie, I'm like, I don't understand why this girl was a plot at all.
Yeah.
It seems so random.
They did a pretty good job disguising it, I thought.
I thought it disguised, but, like, to the point where the twist at the end felt very kind of tacked on. Like, I mean, I guess it kind of earned it. It felt a very Usual Suspects type of twist. Like, there's no way you possibly could have figured this out. But here's a new thing that's going to completely change your context of the movie. But I'm like, I felt like the movie would have been more streamlined if it was just a simple, he wants his money and this guy doesn't want to give it to
Taken,
him.
Right?
And it's also like it's almost like, I don't know if the filmmakers are smart enough to know that this is what they're doing, but there's kind of an interesting, like, blue collar struggle. Like, this guy has put his whole life into this company and done everything right, invested in the 401k, and this rich guy is going to, like, not just take his retirement pause, which that's just your standard Enron scam, right? We're just going to buy this company, raid its retirement account, and leave them with nothing. But they're also going to take your life, too.
I feel like the killing of this person would simply be a metaphor for taking their livelihood.
Yeah.
You know?
So, like, there's, like, a little bit of that. But then, like, what undercuts the message is, poor Mads Mikkelsen just goes to war. Like, the people that really suffer are the other working stiffs for this guy. Like, this guy gets he gets his head cut off at the end. It's like,
I do.
But he kills hundreds and hundreds of these guys who are just working stiffs.
Yeah, no, I love the scene where, you know, the main guys hold up in his castle and in the headquarters, and Mads is coming, and all the guards just file out excuse me, sir.
Like, it's kind of like that scene leaving in John Wick where the bouncer, he sees John Wick coming, and it's like, he's like, are you working tonight? I didn't know you were working tonight. He's like, oh, you might want to take tonight off, Andre.
Right.
And the guy's like, thank you, Mr. Wick. Like, it's like an extended version of that.
It was great. Yeah, there are a couple of scenes in here that are really good.
Yeah. And that, like that I said, scene. I've seen Mads Mikkelsen do a lot of different things. I didn't peg him for, like, a pretty good... He's almost like an anime action hero.
Yeah.
Like, with his hair, and, like, he's got this lithe build and very pale skin. He looks like, you know, like, you dye his hair blue, and he could be in any one of these, like, blood-soaked anime, manga, revenge flicks.
Yeah.
And a lot of, like, the over-top characterizations and stuff I felt was very... Like, is very anime manga, like the little cheerleader who just, like, fucked people to death, essentially. And
yeah, I think if I didn't know that this was a comic book movie going into it, I would suspect it. And I would also be a little more disappointed in it. I guess. Because, like, when I see comic books, I expect some over-the-top crazy shit.
Yeah. Yeah, it just didn't... It did a very good job of copying certain movies. Like, there's some scenes where it's like, oh, this is a very good facsimile of John Wick. And, oh, this is a very good facsimile of, like, Sin City. Or some kind of, like, you know, dark Frank Miller 300 kind of shit. And there was also some attempts to, like, put some Kill Bill depth. Like, for example, so, like... there's like a twist within a twist, because the twist is the woman that lives next door that he's kind of protected is actually the girl that he murdered accident, or his whole family she murdered accidentally. And there's actually a pretty good scene where she's like telling all the things that he took from her. And then they do this fake out where you think that she's killed the man. I'm like, huh, wow. And they're like, it's like this turns into like some kind of Japanese death poem, because they show like this frozen stream and like all like there's like a 30-second the slow dissolve of all this beautiful winter scenery. And they come back and the guy's still alive. And I was like really thinking like, man, how do I feel about that? Because like it's a little like Amos in Expanse. Like, you're not that guy. Like, the one thing that this woman still had is like her humanity. She hadn't killed a person. And now you've taken that from her.
Yeah.
And they come back and he's still alive. And I'm like, okay. And now we've essentially soft rebooted Leon the Professional. You're going to take this girl and turn her into an assassin or help her. I don't know where I stand on that.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm conflicted with it as well. I really need, like, when characters make big decisions like that, I really need a lot of insight into their thought process in order to really go along for that ride with them. And I don't feel like I got it here. I got a little bit of it. Like, yeah. I can fill in some blanks.
Like, she's very fragile and traumatized. That's her character.
And this person has been very kind to her in the ensuing, you know, relationship they had since the murders. So, like, and he's provided for her college. And, right. like, he's done a lot of things to try.
The man is trying to buy redemption.
To try to make something good out of a bad situation. But so I guess like that's where she comes down on the side of, he knows he fucked up. I know he fucked up. The people who sent him, he was just a contract killer, so the people who sent him are the real culprits. Let's work together to find those people. It's almost a little too level-headed for that moment. But I think it worked okay.
Here's what I think is the fatal flaw with the premise that you've laid out, which I think is what the movie's trying to do. I don't buy the redemption, because he takes this Russian prostitute and her child to a situation where they easily could have been killed.
Yeah.
And a person who understood the immorality of what they did and felt guilty about it, I don't think would do that again, because if any, like, you know, I don't know anything about her dad and why he got accidentally on a death squad list. Maybe, you know, he was doing some dirty dealing or some shit. But like, this working girl is doing nothing wrong except for selling flesh for cash, which I don't think is a crime. And she's trying to support the kid. And he, like, this guy who's writing $200,000 checks to this girl and putting her through, like, why does he also do this other thing? Like, that scene, I think, is a big problem for the movie, because if he deserves the redemption, this isn't something he did 15 years ago. This is something he did 5 minutes ago. And it's arguably as bad or as worse as the thing that he's trying to atone for. So, like, is he just a psychopath, sociopath? And what's the connection with the, like, that was a huge problem for me.
Yeah.
Like, and that's why I felt like the redemption arc kind of came out of nowhere. And again, this movie, I don't know. It wants to be, you know, like, there's a couple of places where it wants to be cranked and it wants to say something kind of important. And I felt like they needed to pick one of the four ways you could pound this type of material into being and do it. Yeah. And instead, they tried to do it all. And I'm also interested, because Cecily read the whole comic last weekend. It took her like an hour and a half, 2 hours. And she wouldn't tell me anything about it because she didn't want to spoil me. But she was very positive. She wanted, if I could, to do it, to read it first. And I'm curious to see, because, like, you know, how much of this stuff is like a faithful adaptation? How much of, like, the tone is lost? Like, maybe the comic was a lot more grim, or maybe it was a lot more slapstick. I don't know.
Well, I think they're setting up part two here with, you know, the team up at the end, the Leon stuff. probably Mads is going to be a tool for her. Like, yeah. If they get a pull or two, yeah. I don't know how far into the graphic novel this movie gets, but I know it's a 3-part graphic novel, so maybe this is the first part.
This is the first part, yeah.
And, you know, that revenge plot on the people who killed her family is going to be part two.
Yeah.
So it seems like maybe he'll be a tool for her to use next episode, next movie, which could be entertaining. But it's weird to me that, like, we talked about the ultra violence and the, like, sexuality mix in there. But to me, some of the violence stuff was the fights were, like, the least intense part of this movie. Everything is edited with a pace and a ferocity that when we got to the kind of a little bit more grounded fight sequences, I felt like the movie slowed down in a weird way.
Like, well, give me an example.
Like that hallway fight when he's fighting his way out of captivity.
Oh, right.
I mean, it's a pretty, like, it's a good fight sequence. Yeah, I don't think it's bad. I love, like,
it's very old how boy, he, it's very Daredevil.
Essentially, like, every move he's got is use a human shield, which is cool. Well, I'm fine with that.
Except for, like, the same gun that he absorbs bullets perfectly, like, he uses that on a guy later, and they show him from the back, and bullets just ripping through him.
Oh, right, yeah.
Like, is it a shield or no? I mean...
Yeah, anyway. That's a fair point. But, like, in those scenes, I felt like the momentum kind of slow, because the rest of, like, it's a whirlwind when you're talking about these people, these assassins trying to find him. Like, they're going from place to place to place, murdering.
And costumes and the people are outside.
And the
oversized
editing is just, like, snappy. It's almost at points tough to follow.
Yeah.
Because I think there's one cut where they go, okay, we looked in Florida. Okay, we looked in this other place. There's one more place to try. And they have, like, a 2-second scene of a racquetball court with a guy dying. And I don't think they ever actually go there. I think that's implied to say, we went there and we shot this guy and he knew nothing and now we're at a dead end.
Yeah.
And it's literally 2 seconds.
Yeah.
I thought that all that stuff was kind of cool stylistically, and then the fights just kind of don't match the pace of the other editing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a shame, because I felt like that there's a really good, like, almost iconic action hero role here that was largely squandered, because I never got on board with the mission. I never got on board with the character. It tried to do all these things that, like, Leon and John Wick and Sin City are doing simultaneously without recognizing what about those movies and their underpinning made them great and allowed them to get away with it.
Yeah.
To the extent that they did. So,
I mean, stuff like, you know, the dog is just the filmmaker winking at you. Right.
Right. But see, like, I like
John Wick, huh? Here's a subversion of that.
It is. It was very, very kind of anti John Wick. And, like I said, there's almost like a Michael Douglas falling down. Like, this man, this working stiff, has been pissed on by the powers that be. And there's
he's 1 week from retirement.
He's one week from retirement, and he just wants to get home. And there's a little bit, like I said, I think there is an appetite for some kind of this, like, this rage that's in the working class of all political sides about, like, the fact that there are these people that seem to be parasitically, you know, you've done your part in the American dream, and now you're going to have to be a greeter at Walmart because your 401k got nuked, or your public pension got privatized. And, like, there's, like an enormous quantity for someone to be, like, almost like a Captain Planet villain, like a monstrous version of some Wall Street tycoon. That, like, I think that they could be the drug dealers of the 21st century. Like, you can kill an unlimited amount of these guys and not feel bad of them. But, like, I've not seen a movie smart enough to go there. Like, and when they do, like, for example, Michael Douglas is falling down, he's the villain.
Yeah.
Like, he's the guy who, like, well, okay, things are bad. He's, like, had a bad, but he's snapped. And I don't know. I want to kind of see a movie where, nah, it's justified. This guy didn't, like, they didn't even have decency to give this guy 2 years in Club Fed. Like, he's just going to pay a $500,000 fine after he, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think there's an appetite for that, and it's yet untapped.
Yeah, that's fair. Soundtrack composed by Deadmau5. I don't know if you had read that. But.
No, I did. And he said, like, I guess this is the first one he's done. And he's like, yeah, I wanted to wait for the right one. I wonder if he made that selection based on the... He had to do it based on a comic book.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So
I'm actually interested to check out the webcomic because a completely dialogue-less comic sounds kind of cool to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Cecily had some high praise for it, and we do kind of like
it. Is that
those.
The Dark Horse one, or is it the webcomic?
She read it on the web. Yeah, it was online.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because I guess that, like, so I don't know if they, if Dark Horse, like you said, they added dialogue. I don't know if they made any other changes when they brought it over from Italy, or did you say Spain?
He's Spanish. I don't know where it was created, but
I don't know if they made any other changes, but like, yeah, I guess it's still online and kind of like the same way Andy Weir's The Martian is.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I don't know what the difference between the online Martian and the actual one you can buy.
It's more annoying to read online.
But yeah, that's what we got next week. We still got some things that I hope turn out to be good. The Kingdom. Korean feudal society zombie flick looks interesting. We'll be talking about that next week. And Black Earth Rising or Black Planet. It's a Black Earth Rising.
Black Earth Rising
about a survivor of the Rwandan massacre and her asking questions about, you know, where she came from and who she is and what happened. That those looks good. We'll be having some extended takes on those next week for Bald Move TV. If you have any feedback or any takes that you'd like to discuss on any stuff we've been talking about, send it in to tv@baldmove.com. I'm not saying that we'll always consider feedback, but if we get some good takes, we might. And we'll see you here back next week for all that and more. Until then, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jim.
See ya.